Good evening. You know, throughout our lives, we sometimes wake up to a new day that turns out to be very different than the days before, often altering our lives. We may experience the death of a friend or a loved one that causes our heart to ache. Or as we age, we may face new restrictions and even disabilities caused by a slow or sudden change in our health. We may witness events such as many did on 9/11 or demonstrations that turn deadly. You know, such events are disturbing and cause us a great deal of anxiety and stress if we become fearful of what the future may hold. At his inauguration as the 32nd President of the United States, Franklin Roosevelt said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." He was referring to the effects of the Great Depression, which had a grip on the population as so many sought to put food on their family's table. Within the following decade, he would lead the country through much of a world war. So I have a question. How can we deal with such life-altering experiences, especially the ones over which we have so little or no control? The answer lies in the most life-altering event in human history, which began with the power of the cross. 2,000 years ago, men did everything in their power to put Jesus in the tomb. Men did everything in their power to keep Jesus in the tomb. But we know they were not successful, don't we? Today, many people still try to accomplish what the chief priests, the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees tried to accomplish in the first century. By burying Jesus, they thought they were done with him. They tried to keep him in the tomb and denied his deity. Today, men still try to keep Jesus in the tomb by denying his existence, denying his deity. How did that work out back in the first century for the people who cried out to Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him"? How many of those same people were among those later on the day of Pentecost who heard Peter recorded for us in Acts chapter 2 as he described the Christ Jesus and how they had crucified him? How many who had cried out, "Crucify him," were among the 3,000 who repented, were baptized, and added to the Lord's church that day? Back then, many thought they did not have to listen to Jesus, just like so many think today. Man tries to deny Jesus by ignoring God's word or rewriting it altogether to suit his own selfish purpose. But God's rule book is God's rule book, and they're only kidding themselves if they don't think God will notice. Man can deny Jesus, his resurrection, deny God and his word, the promise of everlasting life, the need for human beings to have morals. But they should indeed hear Paul's inspired words in Romans 14, 10 through 12. "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.'" We read that in Isaiah 45:23. And Paul continues in verse 12 to say, "So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God." And by each of us, Paul refers to everyone, not just Christians. Everyone. What did the events that began at the cross accomplish? How does that day at the cross help us when we wake up to a new day that alters our lives? Well, the cross of Christ was a triumph over death. It teaches us that God is indeed in control. As horrible as the death of Christ must have been to witness, its outcome is glorious, reassuring to those who understand that the experiences of our lives in this world are temporary, but the way we conduct ourselves here will determine how we will spend eternity. Christ conquered death, just like he promised he would when he spoke to Lazarus' sister Martha in John 11, 25 through 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." You know, the most important difference between Christianity and every other religion is that Christ predicted his death burial, and resurrection. We read about it in each of the Gospels. And then he accomplished it. Isaiah 25:8 prophesied in the Old Testament, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And Jesus confirms in Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. What did Jesus accomplish by overcoming death? We find the answer in 1 John 3:8. He says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, what are the works of the devil? They're explained in John 8:44. He is a deceiver, a murderer, a liar. He's a sinner who leads others to sin. A sinner who leads others to be separated from God. So many people deny the devil's existence. That's mighty convenient if you want to write your own ticket in this life, but remember, the devil misleads, even to the point of denying what is written about him in the Bible. He misleads us, and many choose to follow his deception. Yet, what does he have to offer? Nothing. Nothing but more deceit, more lies, sin, and death. If you want an uplifting Bible verse to turn to in troubling times, look at Hebrews 13:5-6, about what God offers to all of us who are faithful. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When did God promise this? All the way back in Deuteronomy 31:6-8, and Joshua 1:5. Why did he promise it? So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can the events of the world do to me? As we struggle with the events of the world, let us remember the reason for the choices we make about the way we conduct ourselves. Reading Romans 6:23, we recall, for the wages of sin is death, thanks to the devil, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God for that. I want to share some hard biblical facts with you. They are not hard as in difficult. They are hard in that they are sound and unchanging truths that God has inspired certain men to write down for us in the Bible to study so that we may know what we must do to be saved, to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here are the hard facts. If a person has not yet obeyed the steps that God has provided for us to follow to salvation, that person is not a Christian. Not yet. Following this scriptural pattern that God has provided is known as obeying the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi in Philippians 3:17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. We must have faith in God's promise. We must believe the inspired teaching in the Bible. Faith that God will deliver us. Galatians 3:26 tells us, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And in Hebrews 11:6, the writer warns, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We diligently seek God through careful, honest study of his word. We cannot find the truth anywhere else. Do not be deceived. We cannot be saved any other way but God's way. If a person has not yet obeyed God's pattern for salvation, if a person does not diligently seek God, then that person is among those who are still trying to keep Jesus in the tomb. I have more hard facts. Jesus is risen. He is no longer in the tomb. Luke chapter 24 tells the account of how Jesus' friends went in the tomb after 3 days and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And two men stood by them in shining garments and said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen." And then they remembered how Jesus had said he would be crucified and the Lord and the third day rise again. He would be crucified and the third day rise again. So he is risen, and he has gone before us, ascending into heaven by the mighty power which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. We read this in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. You know, Jesus did the hard work. He did the hard part for our salvation. He died for our sins. It's up to each of us to overcome the deceitful false teachings in the world and focus on God's word. Obey the gospel. Follow the pattern God established for us to hear and believe, to repent, to overcome the temptation of the devil, and change our lives to follow the Lord Jesus. We must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. You remember Jesus asked Martha in John 11 whether she believed he was the Christ. Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." That's John 11, verse 27. So we must believe. We're commanded to be baptized. Remember Galatians 3:27? It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There is no other option. Baptism is God's command. Don't be deceived. And once we put on Christ, we are to be faithful unto death. Yes, we sometimes wake up to a new day that turns out to be very different than the days before. But if we put on Christ and seek him daily in our lives, it will not matter how different today is from yesterday or any other day, because Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. In a moment, you'll see instructions about how to learn more about the only way that can lead you to heaven. We'll find the means necessary to ensure that you can safely obey the gospel, whether you live nearby, or we can send help through a congregation closer to you. If you desire to study God's word further, become a Christian, and diligently seek his path to heaven, or if you're already a Christian and need to strengthen your faith, please follow these instructions to make your needs known to us as we sing this song.